Welcome to the show. My name is Blake Buck, the king of the internet, and co-hosting with me this week is William Miller, the sexiest man ever.
How you doing, Blake Buck?
I'm doing pretty good. We've also got Justin Ficarotta of Stingray fame.
How's it going? Ooh. Top secret.
Oh, it's going pretty good.
Top secret Stingray heat fame.
And this is your best damn podcast ever for Monday, September 25th, 2006. All right, this week in the news, no US PS3 price drop, Kaz Hirai video Q&A, standard PS3 to get HDMI out of the box, MTV to acquire Guitar Hero maker Harmonix, Hidden Agenda contest launches, and Kutaragi talks future of gaming on the PS3. All this and more on this week's best damn podcast ever. Blam!
All right, good deal. We've got a lot of news this week. We had the Tokyo Game Show, which I'm sure Fick will rant about later. Lots of heat on the Sony PS3 to be released.
And, I can't wait.
And heat that has startled us all, the Harmonix buyout by MTV. We'll go over that later.
Dude, what the dice. Yeah.
What the deuce.
But more later.
All right.
Yeah, it's like that and PS3 bashing week this week.
Indeed. So no...
Because I still got nothing good to say.
All right. We'll jump right in here, straight from the Tokyo Game Show floor. No PS3 price drop. The SCEA president has said Sony has no plans to lower... Notice how I didn't say his name because I can't pronounce it. Has no plans to lower the current $499 to $599 American PS3 price point. 20 gigabyte PS3s will have HDMI worldwide. So we'll talk about that a little bit later. So what do you think about this, Blake Buck? No PS3 price drop.
Well, they dropped the price in Japan, right?
Yes.
So why is it...
The equivalent of 85 US dollars.
Yep.
Oh, well, that's it. Well, but still, though, I mean, it seems like Japan, they have don't they have a stronger footing in Japan than they do in America, or maybe not? I don't know. I'm just talking out of my... What do I know?
Well, it's like, what pisses me off about this is, you know, it's not so much the price, it's just that their attitude towards the price. It's not like, you know, we can't afford cheaper hardware or something. It's like, no. It's $600. Everyone will pay for it. Because it's worth $600. You know, it's just like, no. It's just this arrogance. It's like, no. Shut up. We're not going to pay $600 for this console. You're an idiot. Where's my Xbox? Blam.
Well, I think Blake Buck is right. In Japan, there's much more of a loyal following to the Sony line of hardware. I mean... They don't like Xbox, and the Wii isn't out yet.
No, they
so
don't.
They gotta want something.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think PS3 will see much better success in Japan than it will in the United States until they find out that there are no games for it and sell it.
Yeah, well,
dude,
I mean,
that's
really the only place where they have an advantage on the Xbox is in Japan, just because they sold what, like 12 Xboxes so far in
12.
Japan. so it's really who is the, it's a question of who in Japan is stupid enough to buy a PS3 instead of waiting 5 more days for the Wii to come out.
Exactly.
Well,
does it really come out 5 days after the PS3 does? The Wii? I guess it does.
The PS3 is what, the 14th, and then the Wii is the 19th. Is that
how it
works?
Well, the PS3 hit stores November 11th in Japan.
That's a full month because it's because the Wii doesn't come out until a December 11th in Japan. It's a little slower than the U.S. So they're gonna have a strong foothold there. Nintendo, what are you doing? Dropping the ball in Japan? They're the ones that love you, not us.
Japanese are gonna have to hold out.
Guess so.
We'll see how all that turns out.
All right, so we've got Kaz Hirai. Is that how you say that? I don't know. Well, we've got a video Q&A over at GameSpot. The Sony executive of America says that the U.S. PlayStation 3 launch in detail... Oh, wow, I bungled that sentence. Well, he talks about some information.
Were you going to say PS3 on genitalia?
Yes.
So I'm trying to decipher this article, but William Miller pasted it, and it's all, like, black, and I can't read any of it. William Miller, do this article, go.
Oh, God.
See what happens when William Miller does the news. Look at what happens.
Dude, whatever. So, I don't know.
His defense, dude, whatever. Excellent work, William Miller.
Was this the interview you were ranting about earlier, Justin Fick?
No, it wasn't this, but at Tokyo Game Show, like everyone was so glad that Kaz Hirai wasn't going to take the stage because he completely bungled E3, and Kutaragi came out, and he kind of gave like his whole big picture on, you know, what the PlayStation 3 is going to be. And, you know, he's going to want you to have all your pictures and music and do online shopping and banking and just all this other all this stuff I don't give a flying about. And after that, Kaz Hirai, the clown from E3, had a little video chat and just basically justified all of Sony's stances.
So wait. What he's telling us is I'm going to be able to run QuickBooks and Ridge Racer 7 on one machine. Wait, am I going to have to do the micropayment thing in QuickBooks too? Do I have to like buy all of its parts before I can actually use it?
You got to buy all the cells?
Do I have to
and pains and stuff?
I don't know. I don't want to be like doing my banking.
Well,
let's
talk about this Sony the micropayment.
You can do your banking in high definition.
Whoa, wait a minute now.
Spreadsheets never looked so good.
Except on my higher definition monitor, but we won't go there.
Let's talk about this micropayment thing for a minute. I read earlier this week, we didn't have it in the news, but there are going to be two versions of Gran Turismo HD. One that's essentially going to come with nothing, and you buy everything micropayments, including all the tracks, all the cars, all the everything. And there's going to be one that comes with like 30 cars and 5 tracks. That's like the platinum. So I don't know if they're going to charge for the one. Like, are they going to charge money for a game that's just menus? Is that how that's going to work? And then
my
you have to
question
buy
is
else?
Why the my question is why the hell would I buy either of those really?
I like Gran Turismo.
I like it too, but if you're gonna sell me a game that has nothing, no cars, no tracks, like it's like, what the hell are you thinking,
dude?
Like,
the opening cutscene is awesome.
My brain isn't even thinking good at this point. Sell me a game and sell me a game. No, don't sell me a game and then sell me like all my characters and all my cars for a buck a piece later. Screw you.
Well, here's what I want to know. Can I just go in?
I refuse.
Can I just go in right when I get the game and then buy the most expensive car for like $10 and then I just win all the races instantly?
Yeah, that's another point. Is like is the stuff that you buy more cosmetic or is it like actual like if
no,
I pay
it's actual,
more
like
I get
cars.
A better car?
It's not cosmetic. It's definitely actual stats and cars and stuff.
Oh my god.
I mean, cuz now you're actually screwing with the game design just because, you know, if you have all these tracks and all these cars laid out, and some jerk just buys all the fat loot for $10, you know, buys armor for his horse or something, and goes and blows through your game in 5 minutes.
The horse armor, I remember that from Xbox 360.
Yeah, you know, it's like that. That was like a test of if people would do that, and I remember there being like a huge outcry about it.
Well, so Sony, they're just bungling the PS3. I'm going to make a prediction. By this time next year, Sony's going to be way in the red. They're going to be hurting bad. That's what I think.
Either that or
I saw some figure somewhere about Blu-ray players being like $1,000 at the moment.
Yeah, the Blu-ray player that was released for the PC is like $1,000, and it won't play Blu-ray movies.
Well, then what's the point?
I don't know what you do with it. Really,
look at it.
Also,
give money to Sony.
Your QuickBooks.
I also heard of a new emerging technology that's like a double standard disc. So like it'll you can write both Blu-ray and HD.
Yeah, I've
and
heard
read them
that,
off the
you know,
same disc.
Ever since there was going to be two formats, I've always heard of the hybrid player. But you know, I don't see anything practical coming to fruition anytime soon.
Look, I read off Slashdot, so it's true.
Dude, I don't trust those internet nerds. They frighten me.
All right, anyway, what's next? Let me flip through my heat here.
So the standard PS3 is going to get HDMI port out of the box. So after the recent price drop in Japan and the inclusion of the HDMI port in their chump model, it was revealed that even though the chump model in US won't get a price drop, it will get the HDMI port.
Ooh.
So in addition, Japanese consumers can look forward to the that sentence.
there were just too many words. You hit abort right in the middle
that's
of that
basically,
sentence.
That's basically the entire article right there. Everything I said. Done.
All right, so yeah, pretty much. All right, so I figured out my my purpose on this show, and that's to ask dumb questions that our listeners might ask, but are too afraid to, you know, to suffer the slings and arrows of their their peers. So I'm going to ask one. Does Xbox 360 have HDMI? And what is HDMI? Somebody tell me what it is.
All right. Now, my purpose on this show is when William Miller asks these stupid questions is Vic, not knowing the answers, will sit and shut up and not say anything. That way he looks smart and let Buck answer everything.
Buck, go.
All right. Well, I don't know much about HDMI, all right? But I'm going to kind of wiggle and see what I can come up with. All right. So HDMI. Well, HDMI, I know it's one of, I think, two or three ways to get an HD signal on your television. There's the component will give you an HD signal. There's something else that gets you an HD signal. Then there's HDMI. I think HDMI is the little smaller one that's looks more like a computer plug than like, you know, three cables. And I believe it's becoming the most standard way to connect HD TVs to anything. So,
what does it stand for? High definition media interface, or
high definition multimedia interface?
Oh man, I guessed almost right. That was pretty good.
Wow.
That was pretty good.
Wow. Well, I don't know anything. Why am I even on this show? You guys got more out of the acronym than I could pull out of the cobwebs.
All right. On to the big news for me. This was dropped last night for me. I was looking on Slash, or looking over Simon's shoulder on Slashdot, and saw this. MTV to acquire Guitar Hero maker Harmonix for a whopping $175 million. Dollars.
Dude.
Do you think, is that,
what the hell?
That doesn't seem like enough money. I mean, that seems almost kind of cheap for Harmonix. Maybe not. I don't know.
So, I knew nothing about this, and I've been trying to get a hold of the people I worked with up there to get a comment about it, but I suspect they didn't know much either. $175 million. How much was the Red Octane buyout? $99 million? Wasn't that what it was?
The who?
Yeah, I thought that was up. It was about $100.
Yeah, about $100 million. So we're worth more than they are. That's good. Harmonix has had a long history of music-related games, including Amplitude, Frequency, and the not-so-music-related iToy game, Antigrav. So it makes sense for MTV. I don't know. But people...
MTV should just know better and stay out of the music business. and just stick to what they do. Whatever that is.
So Harmonix is going to be...
Everything they touch turns to shit.
Harmonix is going to be added to MTV's music and logo enterprise unit, led by Executive Vice President Jeff Yap. So, a bunch of people are griping about this on the internet. And I know for a fact that Iran and Alex would not have made this deal if they knew that it would change Harmonix, you know, for the worst. These guys really care about the product, and they really care about the working environment of Harmonix, and they're not, you know, nothing's going to change. We're still going to make great games, and so.
Because I'm saying right now, if I see Karaoke Revolution or Guitar Hero like Christina Aguilera edition, people are going to die.
Well, you got to think about it, though. I mean, MTV, with an MTV connection, we're going to get a lot more songs. The next iteration of Guitar Hero, maybe a lot more master tracks. You know, I can't speak for Harmonix. I don't really know, but that's my guess.
Well, my question then is, what master tracks? Are we gonna get master tracks to like Metallica? Are we gonna get master tracks to I don't know, Black Eyed Peas?
But like I said, the Harmonix founders Alex Rogopoulos and Iran are still going to be at the head of the studio. They're still going to be the creative heads of the studio, and I would suspect that they're not going to let any of the bullshit in. So, who knows? Who knows?
Well, Harmonix has worked
from this.
Harmonix has worked with MTV before on Amplitude, I believe, right?
So and Guitar Hero. They had a credit on Guitar Hero, though I don't really know what the connection there was.
Hmm.
So hopefully it's something like the Bungie-Microsoft relationship where it's just like, okay, we're awesome, you guys are corporate scumbags, just let us do what we want, and you give us money.
So anyway, hopefully this will all turn out for the best. I'll probably be going back to Harmonix over Christmas break. There's a month and a week there that I have off from school, and if they've got work for me, I'll be back. So I'll see if there's any like major changes in the working environment. But I
gonna
suspect
be corporate.
Not.
They're going corporate.
I suspect not.
Yep, it's going to be pigs in suits.
No, I don't think so. Not Harmonix.
These are Nazis there. All right, so Hidden Agenda contest launches. So, the Hidden Agenda game development contest has launched its call for ideas from undergrads and grad students of teams up to 8 people. The contest is offering $25,000 in prizes to the winners, along with many additional prizes.
Scam.
And is flexible in the type of games built with regard to platform or engine used. So the submissions must follow 2 goals. They must have to be incredibly, that says in quotes, fun for middle school students. What? And they have to, in quotes, secretly teach them along the way. So secretly and incredible are the 2 things we need here. So submissions take the from teams from previous 2 years, blah blah. Submit on the website. So if you're looking to get in some game development, maybe educate a few middle schoolers and win $25,000 in the process. Hidden Agenda game contest. Blam.
All right, Justin Fick, rant go.
All right. If you're looking to get $25,000 and you're also looking to give up all IP rights, including code, game design, and art, then go for it. So that means if you... Dude, this contest is a bald-faced, disgusting, brain-melting scam, and it pisses me off that it even exists. And you know what? I told Miller to throw this in here just so I could rip on it. That's the only reason this news story is in the news lineup this week, just so I could rip the shit out of it, because it's bullshit.
Wait, so why is it...
This is like...
Wait, so they're going to, like, take your license
okay,
and
so,
try and...
So there's this... Basically, like, every entry they'll get... Like, I heard about this last time, last year it was launched, and, you know, so I looked into the rules, so I'm like, hey, game development contest, cool. And in the rules, by entering, you give up all IP rights to your game, that's including code, art, design, everything you do, meaning if you code an algorithm that's really cool, you can't use it again. If you code, like, some game design, you can't use it again, because it belongs to them at that point. And they can use or not use
even
that
if you don't
game
win?
At will. Even if you don't win.
Wow.
God.
So, basically, what these people are doing is just trolling for IP from a bunch of, you know naive undergrads and grad students. And... For all these game ideas that they'll get in submissions, they're giving away one $25,000 prize. I mean, it sounds like, you know, sounds like a good, you know, deal for them when you put it that way. So
you
know,
might even say it really has a hidden agenda.
You could. Oh, Buck, you slay me.
That moment is
so
over.
If you're looking for real game development contests, go to, like, gamedev.net. They have some going on. Go to idevgames.com if you're a Mac person. There's plenty of places. Like, if you have a game, seriously, don't send it to these guys, because even the $25,000 prize, you could make that yourself by making it shareware.
That's right.
It's true.
So, Hidden Agenda, kiss my ass, go to hell, next article.
Well, just fix your turn. Go!
All right. So, Kutaragi talks the future of gaming on PS3. Now, this is the part where Justin Fick tries to read this article and keep a straight face. So this talks about the aforementioned keynote at the Tokyo Game Show with Ken Kutaragi, president of Sony Computer Entertainment, and basically he just sort of like I said just gave like the big picture of PS3 as, you know, your hub for all online shopping, banking, whatever. And, you know, and after that, it was like a rehash of E3. Like they showed the trailers of their, you know, of their flagship franchises: Final Fantasy 13, Metal Gear Solid 4.
Wait a minute. Final Fantasy 13.
Not to be confused 13. With that great Ubisoft title 13 from several years ago, the cell shaded shooter. Man, I can't tell you how many times I have seen that in the bargain bin. Like, you ever seen a game and you're like, oh, it might not be bad, but then you just keep seeing it in bargain bins over and over and over, and you're like, you know, I'm just going to hold out until they give it to me free.
Well, I remember there's that one, there was the Enter the Matrix that when it came out for $50, I had no intention of ever buying it, because I was like, you know what, this game may or may not be good, but I love the Matrix, I'll wait till it drops. So it dropped to like 40, and I was like, you know what, nah, still. I saw it used for 35, I was like, no. Then it got dropped to 20, and I'm like, you know what, I really like the Matrix, but I'm not going to pay $20 for this game. And now I'm seeing it used for like $7, and I'm like, you know what, it still doesn't feel worth it to me. I could spend that $7 on like chicken nuggets and a Coke and a hamburger, and I'll feel like I've better spent my money than buying Enter the Matrix.
Speaking of bargain bins, Blake Buck just applied for a job at GameStop, so we'll see what happens. I'm going free in for an interview tomorrow, guys. It's going to be wild.
Oh man,
Blake Buck's going to destroy GameStop. So I'm sure I'll have some tales by come, you know, 2 weeks from now.
It'll be like
we're expecting a taped interview that's Lynn put on the web with explosions.
Yeah, you need to bring the Blake cam into GameStop.
So I didn't even know where the hell was I. All right, so
13.
Final Fantasy 13. Just stop already.
All right. Yeah, pretty
new
much.
IP,
but he also...
No, you cannot say just stop, because that game is huge in Japan. Every time that game comes out, like, 6 or 7 Japanese kids kill themselves. They're so excited.
And then, you know, to be honest, I still enjoy playing Final Fantasy. It's one of the few, like, really sit-down, suck 50 hours out of your life role-playing games that I still... play when it comes
out.
Dude,
I lost all faith after 10, and then they made 10-2, and then I really wanted to shoot myself.
Now, listen to this. I had a revelation the other day. I can no longer play Japanese games that have stories at all.
Like, now you made the ultimatum the other day that you wouldn't play Japanese role-playing games.
I know.
Does this now extend to everything?
It's now extended to any game that has a story. Like, I was playing Okami. I love the developer behind Okami. You know that new game on PS2, right? I started the game.
Clover.
There was like Clover. I started the game. There was probably a 30-minute cutscene where I was just mashing X through dialogue boxes. I got halfway through that, and I threw the controller into the television. I was done with that. I'm glad I stole it.
Oh.
And had I paid for that game, I would have been pissed.
Well, it's like for the most part, I there's a part of me that still enjoys that. It's like, you know, instead of like watching a movie or, you know, the booby.jpg, so I'll sit down to like a good hour of like good, you know, story, a nice Japanese game, which is also one cut scene in Xena Saga.
You need to get your priorities straight, Justin.
I know, it's like... Well, don't get me wrong. I still enjoy, you know my good hour-long sessions of just shooting over and over again. Like, I'm happy to say that none of my... Actually, you know what? Yeah, none of my Xbox 360 games have any sort of a story that's worth it. Like, there's Dead Rising, which... The only story you need to know is that zombies in a mall, and there's tough black guy, you know, female lead with big hooters. That's all you need to know. And you can kill stuff.
Well, let's talk about... I mean, dude, let's have a little discussion about story in games. Like, The problem I have a lot is that so many times, like, I'm all about pacing. I have to have a story that's paced very quickly and doesn't waste time. And as soon as it starts wasting time, I fall asleep in a game. Like, I think that's the problem with a lot of these Japanese gamers. You get these old, you know, these guys in Japan who think they're going to be the next, you know, Akira Kurosawa and direct this masterpiece on the Game Gear.
Kojima.
All right. So I think you're missing something here, though, Blake Buck. Now, the Japanese ideal aesthetic is very, very different from the American ideal aesthetic. If you watch, you know, a Japanese movie, it's going to be paced much differently.
And compared
from
it to Walker
movie.
Texas Ranger.
But I think that a video game is a perfectly viable vehicle to deliver narrative. Take, for instance, Max Payne. Max Payne 2.
Oh.
Great narrative.
It.
Great narrative,
exactly.
Great story, great gameplay. You never got bored with that, right? But I think
Because
they
knew how to pace.
Yeah,
the tendency in Japanese games is to take more time to tell your story, which I, as a cheeseburger-eating American, do not appreciate.
It's not that that's wrong. It's not that that's a wrong way to go about it. It's just different. Also, you know, Japanese narrative tend to be very heavy-handed, you know? Like, I guess this isn't really a good example, but take your favorite game, Blake Buck, Shadow of the Colossus. Now...
Right, okay.
Not a Japanese developer, I don't think. Was it? I don't remember who developed it.
It
was? Well, okay. Great example, then. You just want to have sex with a hot chick. No.
Right.
No. At the end, it gets really heavy-handed, and you turn into an infant, and I don't even know.
And then the meaning is extracted through your face.
So I think there's...
Now, my question is, do you turn into it? Because I haven't beaten it yet. Do you turn into an infant before you finish the game, so like you're like this baby climbing Colossus and stabbing in the face? Because that would be awesome.
Yes, that actually happens, Justin Fick. Yes.
You can look forward to that. I don't know. I think that as games become more and more realistic and we get more power on the console, you're going to see, you know, more narrative-driven games, more, you know, games that are more able to invoke emotion, you know, with the player. And anybody who's not Roger Ebert can see that, you know, computer games are a real art form. And through that, you can very effectively communicate narrative. So that's my take.
But you know
did
what, though?
Say,
there is a line.
Games would never
like,
be an art form?
Wait, what?
Did Ebert say games would never be an art form? Is that what
yeah,
you
I think he said something
line?
To the extent
yeah, he's,
that...
He's gone on record of it.
Yeah, he said that games are not... I don't remember the exact quote, but from what I remember, it was like games are not able to... I don't remember. Go look it up. But no, he does not...
All you gotta know is Roger Ebert's a retard.
So, any last thoughts on this this Tokyo Game Show PS3 hootenanny?
Well, like, Kutaragi also talked about the... like the wonderful online features of the PS3, and wonderful is said as sardonically as possible, because basically he goes on to say that as soon as you take it out, take it out of the box, you'll be able to choose your username and online handle.
Oh boy,
that's
the future
wonderful
is now.
Features. So I mean, I really don't even I don't even know if they're working on a console.
You know what I think is cool though. You know what got announced this week, guys? Ridge Racer 7. This is going to be the fourth time a PlayStation console has launched with a Ridge Racer title. How awesome is that?
That is pretty cool.
Dude, I'm buying it.
Dude, it's
if I had a PS3.
It cannot compete with Excite Truck.
Dude, I'm all about Excite Truck.
Excite Truck is either going to be really bad or really good. I don't know.
We need to make a game called Excite Buck. It'll be
dude, I don't want to know what you do with the Wii controller to play Excite Buck.
See, I could just see the meeting where they created Excite Truck. They're like, all right, well, we got this game. You kind of ride around. What are we going to call it? And someone was like, Truck. Well, that's not so good. Blake Buck raises his hand because I'm there. Excite Truck! Promote that man.
No, it's a, no. There's a long line of Excite games dating back all the way to the Nintendo. I think they had.
Well, there's one Excite game.
Yeah, there's like Excite Bike.
Oh yeah, Excite Bike. Excite I forgot Bike. About Excite Bike.
Yeah,
I haven't heard of
early Nintendo games.
I haven't seen it. Or there was Excite Bike 64 though, wasn't there?
Yeah, I think so.
So, nah, I guess it's a line. Hmm.
Anyway, promote that man.
We should. We got to put up some of these old videos. See, for you guys tuning in, we used to do the Inside Matt Games podcast. We have a mountain of old reviews from IMG, so we might be rolling those into BDPE soon.
Yeah.
So keep an eye out.
Along with
I want to post two. I want to start doing two videos a week, guys. One new, one old.
Dude,
until
how
we
you
get all
do
our
that?
Heat.
How you gonna do that, pal?
Dude, an old video doesn't take that long. Like an old IMG review.
Yeah, but new video?
Dude, I'm on the ball. You're still over there playing with yourself. I'm on the ball, okay? That's the playing with yourself noise. All right. Is that all our news?
I think that's it, Blake Buck.
All right. Well, are we going to do any listener sections or anything? Or
no. Announcement. Announcement. We're about to drop the hammer on you guys listening in. We hate all of you. So we've decided... After last week's debacle, episode 3 debacle, we decided never again to do a live show ever, except once a month. So
that's right. We're going to be having a live show once a month, guys. So I don't know. What's today's date? Maybe we'll start doing them like on the 1st or something. I don't know. We'll figure it out. But we're going to have a live show once a month. We'll have maybe some prizes. You guys can call in. There'll be a contest. Maybe we'll have a guest. Everything. It'll be awesome. So we're going to have one super show where it'll have battle and all this old sections you like. And then we'll just do our regular shows otherwise.
Exactly. Also, but if you still have heat for Stump Buck or whatever, you know, send it in. It'll just be like the old IMG days where we had, you know, listener emails and all that. We don't get any of those anymore, and we're a little sad about that. So
that's right, and nothing's wrong with our mailboxes, guys. You guys just aren't sending
well,
in.
You know what? You know what happened is people
right
stopped
here.
Using mailboxes when we had the live show, and they're like just chatting to us live on the air. It's like, dude, you're not reading my heat, dude. I sent you some heat. Did you get my heat? It's like, dude, I got some heat for you. Lol. Here's my heat. It's like, no, shut up. Email it. You're a retard.
Yeah.
So, like, you know what?
Maybe.
Instead of a live show, we should just have like a half an hour section where we just bitch about our listeners.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
And man, Mike is so dumb. I swear to God, he calls in with the stupid... Man, he called in last week and he had that clip or something from about peeing in the bathroom. Gold, Mike. You get the star for being funny.
Okay, you know what? Like, last week... Even though I'm apologetic of playing the I'm not apologetic of playing Xbox on the air, but I am glad that I missed that whole thing and I was getting shot at instead.
So no more. I don't even know if we're gonna put episode 3 up. We might cut together a version some of that heat, put it in this heat. I don't know, but it was pretty bad.
And now it's time for Blake Buck's Jank of the Week. So this week, guys, I went into GameStop and I found Halo 2 strategy guide with cool maps and all sorts of cool little stuff in it. $5. Blam.
Oh, man.
Right there. Steal the week. GameStop, $5, Halo 2 guide.
Now, I tell you what. Like, that's something that I would pick up just because, since you know, being new to the Xbox scene, like, I just bought my 360 about 3 weeks ago now. And, you know, I picked up Halo 2, first time ever playing it, and I get pwned by everybody. By, like, 12-year-old quadriplegics with Down syndrome are kicking my ass on Xbox Live. Some kid is, like, with no arms and legs, just mashing his face against his Xbox 360 paddle, and he's destroying me. And basically, it's like my Halo strategy right now is, you know, it's carried over from my Quake 3 days. It's basically get gun, run forward all the time, shoot all the time.
Pretty much.
And in Quake 3, that worked very well, but in Halo 2, it's like it's just not working.
This is kind of tangential, but in my survey of interactive design class that I have to sit through twice a week...
My survey of interactive design. I am a gaming expert. Nah.
It's so lame. Anyway, I have to sit through this class. So we watched this movie on the history of games or something. And it had Romero on there of Quake fame.
Of Daikatana. Daikatana fame, not no, listen, Quake listen. Fame.
This guy, like, you know, Daikatana puts him right up there in the ranks of the biggest tools in the world. But I never realized, like, how big of a tool this guy really is. And, like, you see pictures of him in the old days when he was developing... you see pictures of him when they were developing Quake and Doom and stuff. And his hair is, like, down his butt.
Oh, yeah.
And,
He's like the quintessential game designer as Rockstar.
Yeah, like he's okay on the interview, right? He's leaning back in his chair. He's got sunglasses on. You can't see his eyes, and like he's got this blouse like open, and you can see like his chest hair and stuff hanging out, and gold chains and everything. This guy's a total tool, and Daikatana sucked.
Dude, oh my god! I cannot wait until I tell you what.
Right now, dude. if I make it big in the gaming world, that's so gonna be me. I'm gonna be sitting there. I'm not even gonna wear a shirt. I'm just gonna grow like a foot of chest hair. I'm gonna have gold chains, you know, just like
hanging off like, the like, chest like, hair, not on your neck. Yeah. Hanging off the hair.
Yeah.
Man, I'm serious, man. If I die without becoming John Romero in terms of ego, I will have failed.
No, dude, I want to be Steve Jobs in terms of ego. That man is king of the world only because his ego wouldn't allow anything less.
Dude, as much as I love Steve Jobs, he's the last person I want to emulate as far as gaming goes.
Well, gaming, yeah, but I mean, he's built an empire off of his ego.
Like, maybe if I wanted to destroy the entire industry single-handedly.
I mean, granted, I love him and hate him at the same time. And I'm not saying, like, I'd be a game developer like he runs the Apple gaming scene. But no, that man, he's somebody to look up to if you want to rule the world.
I concur to that. But that said,
Bill Gates.
Someday, I still want to see Justin Fick will make you his ad. Like my life will not be complete until I see the game
that you actually produce is good. After that,
oh yeah,
that's the key. But like you know, Bill Gates, he got lucky and made his empire. Steve Jobs, he wanted it and he got it.
Well, Bill Gates, as much as a dick as Bill Gates is, he is a brilliant. Businessman.
Granted, but he's not nearly as charismatic. Yeah, like, and Steve Jobs, not the brilliant businessman, but he's charismatic and he's got the ego. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, anyway, that's completely tangential. Oh, by the way, like, if you're thinking about going into gaming college, don't do it.
Dude, I've heard nothing but bad things about all of those.
Don't do it. Like, okay, here. Okay, if you're gonna be an artist, all right, game artist, go to art school, all right, get a degree in traditional art, maybe pick up a few modeling, you know, classes here and there, whatever. For the love of God, don't go into one of these game development curriculums.
Hey, William, did you work on the sound effects on level 3 when you were in your class?
I tweaked the graphics on level 3. No.
Oh, like, this is the graphics.
Like,
hey,
I don't know.
You could use a sound effect from this level for that one, I think.
It sounds like this. I don't know. There are some, like, the curriculum I'm in, the SCAD game development curriculum, is good. It is good, and there are very competent instructors who've been in the industry a long time and that know their... But like all I do in my classes is make Unreal mods, and I hate it. Like, there's no, you know, they don't give you the tools out of these programs to actually create your own games, which sucks. So for all you aspiring developers out there, you know, don't do it. Go major in computer science.
Don't,
go get an art degree.
Exactly.
In something traditional.
Don't do my first, you know, FPS tool. Go just do it for real.
Now, see, like,
yeah,
I'm having the
best college for making games is shut up and make a game.
Yeah.
Just go to whatever college for whatever you're going to go into before, computer science, art, whatever, and just make a game. That's all you got
to
do.
And that's also a benefit, though, going to art school. Because you go to art school, you got a lot of artists all around you, right? and you can like rope them in and they can do stuff for you. So you can make really pretty games. But like I'm having to do a lot of extra work. Like I'm going to Blake Buck's college to take computer science courses because they don't offer any in my college. I'm having to read all these books to get up to speed so I can be a competitive, you know, developer or whatever. Don't do it, guys. Don't do it. I know you're looking at DigiPen with you know, licking your chops at Full Sail or whatever. Don't
oh,
do
man.
It.
Man.
Don't do it.
I just had a buddy who just transferred into the DigiPen who listens to the show all the time.
Now, granted, exactly. Now hang on. I worked with a guy. Okay, you remember that guy that I told you about at Harmonix? His name is Brakely, and he looks like a cross between Blake Buck and Justin Fick. Like, if you took those two people and averaged them together, you'd get Brakely.
That has to be the hottest man ever.
Yeah, Justin Fick has seen it. So Brakely, he's a really good programmer. Like, he's doing a bunch of localization stuff for GH. And he went to DigiPen. And they have, like, a programming track and an art track. And apparently, like, he really, you know, got trained well there. So, like, his assembler course, like, he was telling me about his assembler course. He took a course in assembler. And he, like, the first couple weeks, they learned assembler language. Then the rest of the time, they had to make a Game Boy game in assembler. Go. Awesome. Like, I want to take that class. Where's that class at my college? Oh, wait. So maybe if you're a DigiPen, it's not so bad if you're going in programming. But I'm telling you guys, go to a real college.
Learn skills. Don't learn like how to design games. You know, learn something tangible.
Yep.
And then pick up design and that kind of thing just from your own experience.
Right. So anyway, that was my tangent. Back to learn a skill
and apply it. I mean, it's not like I'm learning games. You know, it's just. Learn what you're going to learn, make a game, and you know what? The best education is just play games, you know, growing up.
Really, a great track if you really want to get into game development. Actually, podcasting is very lucrative, and you make a lot of money doing it. I've gotten thousands of job offers from game companies, so... You might want to look into podcasting. All right, our second jank of the week. GameStop, another GameStop deal, because I only have a GameStop where I live, so I guess all my janks are going to be GameStop deals. Max Payne 2 on Xbox or PS2, $299. Oh my God. Oh, I want four.
Wow. That's a big jank.
It's practically an AOL disc. It's so cheap.
That's such a great game.
It is really probably. I mean, it's got a great story. It's got great. I'm a big you know, Asian cinema fan myself, and it's got lots of Hong Kong action elements in it. I mean, one of the difficulties is called hard boiled. Come on. I mean, but it's a great game, great story, and it's $3. I pissed $3.
Dude, that is
have an unholy fascination with John Woo movies, and the only reason why is that there's so much crap in every frame. Like when something blows up, there're doves flying everywhere and glass and burning bits of everything.
It's like there's exploded toast flying all over the frame.
Dude, what was that one movie, The Killers, where there's the blind chick and the dude gets his eyes shot out?
John Woo's The Killer.
Oh yeah, and it's like I love how every time someone gets shot, just like a gallon of blood just shoots out of the hole. Just like that, that makes me happy inside.
And the shotgun is so ridiculously overpowered.
The shotgun is like a tank. You fire the shotgun, the entire wall explodes. I love it.
Oh.
Jank. All right, enough jank of the week. I'll be bringing more, though. And if you guys ever have any, if you want to send in janks of the week or William Miller, Justin Fick, you guys have janks of the week? This is such a dumb section. Feedback at bestdamnpodcastever.com. I like how I slip criticism of our show right in with the rest of it. All right. And now it's time for everybody's favorite section, Stump Book.
I'm going to go first, and I might martyr myself here, because Blake Book, I hope you played this
dude,
game.
Dude, I'm going to nut in your mouth so hard.
You probably are. But I have to do this. I have to be a martyr because this game was really good, and I played it recently, and it's awesome. It's called Blackthorn.
Oh, what the deuce in my mouth? What is this? Come on. Blackthorn was released on PC, SNES, and even Game Boy Advance a couple years ago. It was made by Blizzard. It was a kind of Prince of Persia-esque game, but it had this big dude. His name was Black, and he had a thorn. And he ran around, he shot the monsters, and I remember in the PC version, you could even shoot the good guys, and I like that because I'm bad. And it was bloody, and you kind of hid in the shadows, and it was a cool game. I liked it. Thumbs up, Blackthorn Blizzard. Check it out. Blam!
Avenge me, Justin Fick.
All right. Now, I had like two really great stump bucks during the week from Freeverse, just popping around and looking it up, and I totally forgot what they were.
Oh God! There's going to be some. What was that? What was that thing last week? Something devil in the box or something? That was dumb.
Oh, Bruce's was. I have no mouth and I must scream.
Lame. If you,
what kind of games are you playing, Bruce Morrison?
If your heat is anything like that, Justin Fick, you are annexed from the show for a week.
No. It was good heat, and I completely forgot about that heat.
Bring up your tertiary heat. Go.
The tertiary heat.
Big word there from Blake Buck.
I know. Normally I just write three dairy. That's what I've been writing for years. Three dairy.
Three dairy. So my three dairy heat is actually me talking and trying to stall the two of you while I flip through my NES ROMs folder.
All right. Well, I got one for you guys. Let me think. Ooh, I got to think of one. Here, this is a fairly easy one. I just this game's fairly recent. I just picked it up, but we'll see if anybody's even played it. Because again, you guys play nothing. I'm just shocked by the number of games you guys like. You guys play nothing. Have you ever heard of Freedom Fighters?
Dude, I play everything. Try me.
Freedom Fighters.
Okay, Freedom Fighters.
Dude, is it that NES game?
Why don't you, Wayne Miller, you go, Justin Fick, you go, and I'll tell you who's right.
All right. Freedom Fighters is a side-scrolling beat-em-up game. The first player is the white guy, and the second player is the black guy. And, and
that's such, like, racist.
Like, dude, you ever notice that, by the way? Like, whenever there's a two-player game, whenever there's a two-player game, it's always player one, that's the white dude, and player two is
always the black guy. Do you remember in the original Street Fighter?
Always.
Where, like, in the cabinet, like, in the arcade, you've got the street fight, right? And there's the white dude and the black dude, and, like, the white dude punches out the black dude, and it's a street fighter.
No, the blonde-haired, blue-eyed white dude punches out the black dude.
So
no,
bad.
You know, there's subtlety.
Dude, that would never happen.
Well, here's the thing.
It has to be multicultural.
In Japan.
Seriously, like...
Here's the thing. In Japan, like... All they see in the mid-90s, all they saw of our culture was like action movies, right? So all they saw was action movies where the white guy beats up the black guy. So in all, like in, I believe it was Double Dragon, all the bad guys in the original Double Dragon were black. And they had to fix that when it came over to America.
Oh, what a great idea.
Oh, God.
Somebody at somebody in localization was like, "Ooh, this is not going to work."
Localization guy, we're going to change palette swap.
But you know what's even better than that was the original. You guys remember the game Ice Climber?
Oh yeah.
How the enemies that went back and forth across the floors, like those little white fluffy dudes that really there is no point to them. Like, you know where the hell it came from? In the original Japanese version, those were baby seals.
They were what?
They were baby seals.
What's wrong with baby seals?
Nothing. It's just like, it's awesome to smash baby seals with a hammer.
Oh.
And they changed because I guess that wouldn't fly with people that don't have penises.
So, William Miller, you said it was a side-scrolling beat-em-up, Freedom Fighters. Yeah. Justin Fick, what's your vote for Freedom Fighters?
Dude, I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I'm going to say it's more of a game about, like, revolution Freedom Fighters.
So either that, or it's like a plane game, where you're in planes shooting.
Well, you're all wrong. Freedom Fighters was a game
for
that
freedom.
Freedom Fighters was a game that came out about 2 years ago by EA put it out. It was a squad-based kind of, well, it was had some revolution elements. The Red Army has invaded Manhattan, and you and your squad of team members have to go and fight for freedom. And it's
got it isn't free.
It's got a hefty fee. So
if you don't like it, you can get out.
So yeah, Freedom Fighters. Check it out. It's a cool game. All right, Jessupik, now you should have time for your heat. Lay it on the go.
All right, well, this is my tertiary. So my third heat for you is it's called Guardian Legend.
Ooh.
Who?
Guardian Legend.
Guardian Legend.
Ooh, good one, wait Fig. A minute. This sounds familiar. Guardian Legend.
That's my good, Fig.
Legend indicates a quest. So it's probably an RPG of some sort. No, it could be fighting. Legends are also fighters. All right, Guardian Legend.
I love how this works.
Yeah.
All right, so we've got Guardian. Okay. I extract all meaning from the title. All right, Guardian Legend is a role-playing game. You play the guardian of a small village called Ubuntu. It's deep in the Linux woods. And you've got to protect all these little nerds from Microsoft that are coming in, throwing their Vistas all over the place. Right?
Ubuntu.
All right, so you said it was out of two genres, role-playing and fighting. You're wrong on the genre.
Oh, what? It's Guardian Legend. It has to be a RPG fighting game.
No. Try again.
No, I'm done. That's it. What's the answer?
All right, so Guardian Legend was, it's like an action-adventure game, and it's kind of like, it's kind of a cross between Zelda and Metroid, I guess.
Yep.
And you're,
well, I've never heard
like,
of this.
You're this chick that turns into a spaceship. So half the game is like top-down, exploring like Zelda. You're finding items and guns and swords and such and powering up. And the other half of the game is a vertical scrolling shooter. So, and as you got more powerful and your weapons got powered up, you'd be able to shoot more stuff in ship form. And basically, it's an old NES game. The story of it is you're the chick that turns into a spaceship, and you have to explore this old like deserted moon or spaceship. And it's not quite deserted because there's all kinds of stuff that's trying to kill you. And you just spend the whole game searching around and blowing it up, and it's awesome. Blam.
All right, then.
Sounds good to me.
Not so good. Sounds a little lame over here, but, you know, whatever. All right. I personally like Freedom Fighters. All right, so what else we got to do? Do we want to do, like, anything else, guys? Do we want to do, like, a top whatever?
Do we have any listener feedback, or not?
We got somebody who's like, we get one of these every week. Dude, I want the battle music. Send it to me. No. I'm not even telling you where it's from. It's a secret now.
Dude, battle is dead to us.
Battle is dead to us. That's right.
Battle is dead to us. What are you talking about? We don't know what that is. Battle is dead. It's dead to us.
Maybe if you guys were more intelligent, had some more valuable comments, sent in feedback that wasn't retarded, maybe then we could bring battle back.
Like, okay, so in the first of the month, or whenever we decide to do it, we're going to have another live show. And before we start the live show, we will not know if we're going to do battle or not. We're just going to have to see how retarded you guys are.
I think what we should do, we should when we do the live shows, we should just do them unedited. Like we and we'll make fun of the listeners the whole time. And that's how it'll work.
Well, actually, it's like, remember when we had our kind of like fake debug episode in place of 3? This is back when I was still in Vegas. So we just put the live, like, we weren't going to have any news. We just put the show up and just BS for 2 hours. That was awesome.
Yeah, that was good. Also, for those of you just tuning in, by listeners, we don't mean everybody. We mean like the 3 guys that actually participate in our show, and we hate them. So don't feel bad. I mean, you know, we're not... We like you guys, the other listener. We're talking about this handful of dudes.
I have a feeling that there's a silent few who listen to the show. Look, we have a fairly respectable audience. I have a feeling that most of our listeners are not retarded, but it seems like the ones that are the most vocal are the retarded ones.
Yeah.
So if you're intelligent, please write in.
Here's to you. Here's to you, our silent saviors.
Whatever happened to Pastor Steve?
Exactly, Pastor Steve.
Pastor Steve, where are you? You've forsaken us. Anyway, have I ever told you about how much I hate PHP? I hate it. Have you ever tried coding in PHP? It's a nightmare.
For a while, I had
bastardized C++ hoot nanny.
Oh yeah.
Use Python, for Christ's sake.
That is the second time this show you have used the word hootenanny.
I like that word, hootenanny. I can use it for anything. Blake Buck, you got a little hootenanny on your face.
Oh God.
It's like one of those universal words. It's almost like heat. Hootenanny.
Hootenanny. Anyway.
Hootenanny.
One thing I wanted to say is I told you I got Phantasy Star Online, right? So I got Phantasy Star Online Episode 3, which I'd never played, which is like the card game spinoff, which I thought, well, maybe it's dumb, card game. But, you know, the new Phantasy Star is coming out. I want to say I played all the Phantasy Stars. So I went and got it right. So I finally signed up for all the Hunter's License and, you know, start paying my fee to play online. Got all my router and everything configured. I play Episode 3 online. There is nobody playing it. Period. Nobody. Like, that's the saddest thing. When you're going through all the different rooms just looking for somebody to play with. Hello? Is anybody playing this game?
It's like Game Ranger.
I know, man.
It's episode just like Game Ranger.
Like, there's still a good number of people playing Episode 1 and 2. Episode 3, that deuce is cold.
And there's nothing we like less in this podcast.
And cold deuce.
Look, if you play Episode 3, my name's Blake Buck. I want to see you sometime.
Yeah, see, points for that. Like, one thing I'm sick of in MMOs is people, like, thinking of all these fantasy elven names, like...
Yeah.
Philanthrol or some lame...
My name's Blake Buck, all
like
capital
that.
Letters, like, no space. There you go.
Awesome.
Blake, if you're looking Buck for me on Xbox Live, there you go. Blake Buck, all capital letters, no space. It was Exclasius for a while, William Miller, my Xbox Live name.
Oh, man. Maybe one day we'll tell the listeners about Exclasius.
No,
and the
dude.
Beat stick.
We have the video of Exclasius. Oh, right.
We do. We have the...
Now, is Exclasius the one that wields the beat stick in that video?
Oh, no.
No.
Oh, no.
No, no.
Exclasius is the rival to the beat stick.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It's another cardboard weapon that has the word... that Blake Buck inscrawled the word Exclasius on. And nobody knows where he got that word. He just made it up and wrote it on there.
And what did it do, William Miller? It beat your ass. All right.
Dude,
that's
Blake
all
Buck... Blake Buck, he thinks that he beat me.
Let's tell this tale. All right, let's just divulge what Exclasius is. Me and William Miller used to have a game when we went to high school together. We used to live in a residential high school. And so on our floor, 4 South, we would, I would get at one end of the hall in a wheelie chair in my cardboard tube. And then he would get on the other end of the hall in a wheelie chair with his cardboard tube. And we'd crank up the battle music and then ram at each other at maximum speed. And whoever fell off first was the loser.
And I would always beat Blake Buck.
No, and I beat William Miller's every single time.
No. Here's the thing. See, we've got video of all of this. And there's this one. See, you could clearly tell that I beat Blake Buck in all the videos except one. And I beat him in that one too, but it's too dark for me to see. So Blake Buck, he's like, "Oh, I'm gonna cheat and lie to everybody, say I win in this." But that's not how it works. It's contested because it's too dark for me to see me beating his. Because that's how it went down.
You got to beat William Miller.
No. The beat stick never lost a game of battle. Never. Remember that time your chair fell apart? Like, I beat your so bad your chair fell apart and you fell on your ass. Like, we have still images of that too, of you on the ground covering your face and be about to beat you. I remember that. We'll put them online. Don't worry.
Oh, it's
going
videos.
Up. They're going up. They're going up. Feed.
Oh, man, you'll get to see Blake Buck, like, prepubescent Blake. What? That's current Blake Buck. What am I talking about?
Elementary school Blake Buck. Oh, man. Oh, all right. Enough of this debacle.
All right, well, that does it for this week and the best damn podcast ever. What do you guys think about that?
You know, that's a really good show because no listeners.
That's right.
I agree.
I don't hear anybody calling this show lame.
I'd like to take this moment to thank our listeners for not being here. It's much better without you.
Let's see. If you'd like to send us any feedback, it's feedback@bestdamnpodcastever.com, or you can call our listener line, but not to talk live. Just to leave voicemail. I guess we'll call it the voicemail line now. At 845-BATTLE-9. That's 845-BATTLE-9. So leave us a call. Maybe you'll get played on the show. Because let me tell you guys, nobody ever calls us. And if somebody actually called us, as long as you weren't extremely stupid like the majority of our listeners, you would get played on the show. It's not that hard, guys. So, yeah. Call us in. Guys, do we have anything else for? Do we need to thank anybody? Oh, we should do a few special things. So, first of all, I'd like to thank User Friendly in Jackson, Mississippi for or Madison, Mississippi rather, for providing me with an iMac we used to do the live show, which apparently we don't do anymore.
Oh, man.
well, now it lets me read the news, so it's quite useful. So, if you have a Mac and you're in the central Mississippi area, User Friendly, check it out. It's userfriendly-jackson.com. Thanks, Uncle Rick. All right, and also, we like to thank Libsyn, guys. I don't know if any of you are into podcasting, but when you want to go serious, you go Libsyn. And they're not paying us to say this, but Libsyn, great hosting for podcasts. So thanks, Libsyn, for all you've been doing.
And DreamHost, best hosting service ever.
DreamHost, yes, best hosting service ever. Justin Fick, you got signed up on DreamHost, right?
That I did. You got your cash monies.
That's right. Get this. Justin Fick signs up for DreamHost. I get $90. How the hell does that work?
Dude, I haven't even made a website yet.
Dude, that's a racket waiting to happen there, Blake Buck.
Oh, man.
I know. Yeah, that's if like, you guys sign up for DreamHost, be sure to use your referral as
that's like
Blake
Buck. William Miller, Get Rich Quick Scheme number 682.
Yeah, this is what, our last one was Porn Site. We had that one going for a while.
We almost did that one, except
dude,
I have a conscience.
I swear to God, if you weren't such a girl, we would have made that porn site and made a ton of money. I'm still, look, Justin Fick, you and me will do the porn site, Justin Fick.
What is this, pornsite.com?
Look, I can't tell you the secret behind it of why it will be a success. Otherwise, our listeners will know.
No, we had it all figured out, and then I backed out at the last minute because, I have a conscience.
Lame, sir.
Dude, I have no conscience. I will do this.
Not that I say I don't take advantage of that vice, but I will not perpetuate it myself.
I love it.
Dude, I breathe vice. Vice.
All right, so for all of us here at the Best Damn Podcast Ever,
I'm William Miller.
I'm Blake Buck.
And I'm Justin Vice Fick.
And we'll see you next time.